Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to talk about a Supreme Court ruling on California's worship restrictions. How restrictive were those restrictions? And if someone decided not to comply, a congregation, for instance, decided that they were going to go ahead and meet and sing and chant, what kind of penalties would they be in California? Joining us to talk about the Supreme Court's ruling on California's worship restrictions, Matt Staver. He's founder and chairman of Liberty Council. Liberty Council appealed to the High Court on behalf of California churches. Matt, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
How have attempts by some governors to restrict worship during the pandemic fared with the Supreme Court so far?
Well, up until the appointment and confirmation of Justice Amy Coney Barrett, it was a 5-4 decision at the Supreme Court, and that changed with her being seated, and that changed as early as Thanksgiving Eve. And from that point on, we've always had at least 5 votes against these restrictive bans and restrictions on places of worship. Outside of the Supreme Court, the courts were split. Some courts, like, for example, we have the only, up until that time, win at the Court of Appeals, and that was 2-3-0 wins out of the Court of Appeals governing Kentucky. But other courts went the other way, and literally there were over 100 cases that sprang up and were decided in less than a year, and they split, some going one way, some going another way. But now with the Supreme Court in the direction it is, it has really been a major boost for religious freedom.
Describe Governor Newsom's restrictions on worship during the last 10 months in California.
It's by far been the worst. If you go back to understand how severe this is, it started on March 19, and except for 48 days, where the restriction was no more than 100 people, it's been a no-worship zone throughout California from March 19, 2020, until this Saturday morning when the Supreme Court issued its injunction. That's 323 days. That's incredible. And that means no worship, not one person, not 2 people in any place of worship. And that also includes home Bible studies and fellowship. So this was by far the worst restriction in the entire country.
And what kind of penalties would churches face if they violated California's restrictions?
Well, many churches have been fined hundreds of thousands of dollars. One church has already been fined nearly $1 million. That, I believe, will come to an end after this new ruling from the High Court. In our case, we were threatened with fines. We represent about 140 churches, but Harvest Rock Church and Pastor Cheon were threatened not only with daily $1,000 fines, including the parishioners, anybody who attends worship in that church, daily fine of $1,000, and daily criminal charges up to a year in prison. And we have a very threatening letter from the California Pasadena prosecutor that threatens both criminal jail time as well as these daily fines.
So tell us a little bit about Harvest Rock and Harvest International Ministry and what their case entailed.
Harvest Rock Church is located in Pasadena, California. It's in the historic Ambassador Auditorium. This is a state-of-the-art facility that Pavarotti even went to sing because of the incredible acoustics, and the church ultimately obtained that several years ago. It also has several campuses beyond Pasadena. And then Harvest International Ministry represents about nearly 135 or nearly 140 churches throughout California. So collectively, we represent about 140 or more churches in California. And like all churches or most churches around the country, Harvest Rock and these other California churches, they closed at the very beginning, starting March 19, when there was a no worship order. And that was because all of the information that was coming through from the governor was that millions of people were going to die in California alone. And then what they began to realize is that these restrictions didn't include liquor stores or abortion centers or the big box centers, but they were continuing on churches. And then they really began to realize that the people in their church and the community were suffering from isolation, depression, anxiety, and so many other fears that were hitting them. And they said, enough is enough. It's time to reopen the church. And they did. They reopened on Pentecost, the last Sunday in May. But then California became even more restrictive, banning singing and chanting on July 6th, and then went back to the no worship since July 13th, and they continued that until the Supreme Court's order. And under that scenario is when the church began meeting safely. There's been no outbreaks in any of these churches in California that we represent, but they did so under daily criminal threats and fines.
So it's a little complicated for the uninitiated, but tell us about the court's ruling regarding the California restrictions. What did the court do and didn't do?
Well, the bottom line is that the court ultimately ended this total ban on worship in California, and that is clearly a relief because it's going to give relief to literally thousands and thousands of churches throughout the state of California alone. The precedent, however, is going to extend beyond California, but the case is not over by any means. The case is still pending at the Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit, and the Supreme Court acknowledged that their particular injunction will remain in effect during all of the pendency of appeal, including if we have to return to the Supreme Court. So we're at the Court of Appeals already, and we will continue the litigation until all the restrictions are removed. We believe, frankly, that in the various tiers, they have four tiers that California has created, with the worst being Tier 1 and the less restrictive being Tier 4, that all of the tiers continue to discriminate against churches and places of worship by either imposing more restrictions on them and less restrictions on other similar kinds of congregate activity, or no restrictions on hundreds of what they call critical infrastructure, yet restricting churches. And we'll also continue our litigation at the Court of Appeals on the singing and chanting ban. The court did not have enough votes together to strike down the singing and chanting. I think we have five votes. Two of the votes, however, said that it wasn't clear from the current record that there was exemptions for the music industry. But I can tell you it clearly is, and we'll show that. And by showing that, I think we'll have a majority when we go back, if we have to the U.S. Supreme Court to strike out the ban on singing and chanting.
So go into a little more detail. How did the court divide on the issues here?
Well, the court issued a 6-3 injunction. So this is the first time that Chief Justice John Roberts sided with the churches. He's always been the other side. And the change to give a fifth vote was when Barrett replaced Ginsburg. And that gave us the fifth vote going back to Thanksgiving Eve. But now for the first time, Chief Justice John Roberts sided with us in this case. So it was a 6-3 decision to end the total ban. However, it was a little bit of split in both whether it should have a 25% restriction in terms of building capacity in Tier 1, and I think that's essentially where we are, and that will be litigated at the Court of Appeals. But it also was a split on the singing and chanting. We had three justices ready to give an injunction right now to stop the singing and chanting restriction, and two, Barrett and Kavanaugh, believe that, in fact, if the music industry in Hollywood is exempted, that we would win. They just weren't completely clear that that's what the record reflected. And that's partly due to the lower court's decisions that weren't very clear on it. But we actually presented evidence, and we'll present even more evidence, that the governor from the very beginning has put the music, TV, entertainment, Hollywood production facilities in a completely different category, and they've been exempt all the way going back to March 19. So, you know, a chorister can sing in a Hollywood production, but that same chorister can't go to a place of worship and sing. That's clear. We're going to argue that and point it out very clearly, and I believe now when we do that, we'll have five votes to strike down this discriminatory treatment.
To your knowledge, has Governor Newsom explained why California's film, television, music industries are granted exceptions to the singing restrictions?
His restrictions are never fully explained. He only will come back and say, well, worship is different and it's more risky than other places. But the fact is, he assumes, in fact, that to their shame, frankly, they made allegations that are stereotypical, like churches are typically in older buildings with less ventilation. Harvest Rock Church is in a state-of-the-art music facility that you can literally drop a pin on the podium and you can hear it at the back of the auditorium. And that's why the high music entertainers want to go there to actually perform in concerts. So that's been their only argument, that churches are different and they should be treated differently. But we have actual studies that we presented. They have no studies with regards to churches, that churches that are opening with certain kinds of health and social distancing protocols have no evidence of outbreak. So the evidence on the California side is just anecdotal, and it's histrionic, and it doesn't have any basis in real reality other than stereotyping churches and places of worship.
So talk about that other pending litigation on California's restrictions.
Well, we are at the Court of Appeals, and actually before the Supreme Court issued its ruling, I've already argued twice at the Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit, and we've already filed what's called our merits brief, not on the emergency aspect, but on the full-blown merits. So within another week or two, California will have to respond to that. We file a reply, and then I'll be back for a third oral argument, but this time it's not going to be on the emergency basis. It'll be on the full-blown merits. We already got our emergency relief at the U.S. Supreme Court, and our injunction will remain in effect pending all the litigation. And then depending upon what the Court of Appeals does, if they rule everything that they should, then we won't need to go back to the Supreme Court for a final disposition. But if they don't, we'll be able to go back to the High Court. And the High Court even said as much in their decision over the weekend.
One of the justices that seemed to imply that the lower courts are not following the guidelines set out by the Supreme Court, their constitutional roadmap, by their previous rulings on worship restrictions. What is that all about?
Yeah, that's Justice Gorsuch and others. In fact, he had five justices that agreed with that particular statement as well, including Barrett, Kavanaugh, Alito, and Thomas. And he is frustrated, as the court should be frustrated. We've argued from the very beginning that this Thanksgiving Eve decision from the Supreme Court regarding New York churches and synagogues presents a very clear constitutional roadmap. And when you follow it, there's one inevitable conclusion, one destination, and that is these restrictions are unconstitutional. Yet the lower courts in this case did not follow it. And we argued vociferously that they were wrong and that it was very clear. And the Supreme Court essentially slapped these lower courts and said, you need to start following this. We should not even have to deal with this right now because we already set out a fairly clear roadmap. I think that will be something that the lower courts will have to take note at, that the Supreme Court has now aggravated, frankly, and they said it in so many words, that they've had to even revisit this, that these courts should have done their job in the first place.
So what kind of precedent are these decisions adding up to from the Supreme Court?
Well, it continues to add more and more precedent and more and more bases for these restrictions to be removed. For example, we have the Thanksgiving Eve decision that was a strong decision out of New York. The second case that they decided was, again, our case here, Harvest Rock Church on December the 3rd. And in that case, they granted our request. They set aside all the lower court orders and they directed the lower courts, follow what we just said. But they didn't. But as a result of that, some governors did get the message. The very next workday, the governor of Colorado removed all of the restrictions on the numerical imposition on churches and places of worship. He knew, he saw it pretty clear. If you read it, you know what the roadmap says. And so that's what's happened. More and more of these precedents are gathering and taking effect. We even had other courts of appeal that have said this is now a sea change at the Supreme Court with regards to places of worship, and they've had to reverse themselves. But California continued to press forward, and some other states continued to press forward, and they continue to ignore the Supreme Court. I think it's going to be much more difficult for them to ignore the Supreme Court after the Harvest Rock Church case. And exactly pointing out what you referred to, that they were aggravated, that they had to deal with this again.
Matt Staver is founder and chairman of Liberty Council. Liberty Council appealed to the High Court on behalf of California churches. You'll find a link to Liberty Council at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Matt, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. My pleasure.
In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., we'll begin a series on how Christians interact with the culture. Our guest will be Dr. Alfonso Espinosa. He's author of the book, Faith That Engages the Culture, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois, is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.